were not to fight this the way that the world thinks we're to fight this.
Yes, Jesus died for unity.
It's so angry outside, but it's so beautiful in here.
They're looking for something that they can't find without Jesus.
You plant seeds, but they need to be watered.
Am I willing to go to jail for Jesus?
Fear can just manipulate so many people.
Clinging to the Lord and knowing that He leads and guides our every step.
You count the cost of what it is to do what Jesus asks you to do. There's a tangible cost.
And it's obedience of His people.
Hello and welcome to Victory Podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about everyday life through a faith lens, living in victory. And today we have two very special guests from Burn Canada, Cassie and Nikki. Thank you for being on the podcast here today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's really exciting.
Yeah, thank you. I know you guys have been with Let Us Worship and Sean Foy and just finished the Canadian tour. Yeah. And we want to hear all about it. But first, can you tell us a little bit about you guys and how you got involved with Burn Canada?
Okay. So I am the national director and I started out, I'm a worship leader. And in 2020, when everything was shut down, we had a group of worship leaders that wanted to get together and continue worshiping. We created a little choir and did outdoor practicing in 2021. And we wanted to have a covering. So we got involved with Burn 24/7 Canada.
Okay.
And then after that, a year later, I was asked to become the national director.
Yeah.
And so it was really neat to just have that encouragement to, you know, step outside of the box, take worship outside and have that support because people weren't sure what to think of it during that time.
Right.
And and so it was a beautiful way though to reach out to the community and it give hope. So we were just this little ragtag team that just went all around the Lower Mainland. And then with the national director at the time, Joe Sinanen, he came out and then asked if I would consider putting my name in because he was called to do a house of prayer. And so it was amazing. And then within about 5 months, I became the national director. So in 2023, I took over. And there was, because of COVID, there was hardly anything left of the ministry. So we basically relaunched everything. And we've grown from 7 that were remaining to 22 across the country. And we're still growing. And so these are worship hubs, worship leaders. We build community in the different cities that we have hubs in. We call them burn furnaces. And we're not about burning down Canada. That was a big topic this summer. But we are about igniting the hearts of people for Jesus. And you see what happens, even when we're just worshiping outside, people would walk by and just start crying. And they're like, why do I feel something different here? We're like, oh my goodness, you know, we're just a bunch of worship leaders. We need people that actually know how to talk to the people because we're always up the front. So we're like, we need people to come and pray and we need people to come and share the gospel. And so it's just kind of morphed into this beautiful, I can't even, it's a ministry that reaches out to people. People who received Jesus just by walking by and hearing the worship and hearing the, we are now stepping into, you know, straight preaching, gospel shares, you know, and we partner with Disciple of City as well and all their training. And it's just been amazing. And then, you know, Cassie came along. It's just been incredible. And the whole, it's just, it's grown into this beautiful, way to reach the communities that we're in and encourage and mentor leaders across the country.
Cassie, how did you get involved?
It's kind of okay. I'm going to try and summarize it. But my now fiance was like, "Oh, you should come to a Let Us Worship in 2024 or three in Coquitlam." And I was like, "Hey, you know, I would love to do that." And like, how do we get there? I want to be connected to someone. He's like, "Oh, like reach out to Nikki." And so I was like, "Okay." And then got connected with Nikki and she's like, "Oh, we're actually doing a light a candle," which is the mission side of the burn. And she's like, "Oh, like someone actually just dropped out. But if you want, like it's all paid for. You can come and be here for the week." And I was like, "Okay." And then was there for the whole week. And then Nikki saw my leadership skills and a team leader who I'm friends with.
She's an amazing cheerleader too.
Oh, that's good. So good. And then Nikki saw greatness, I guess, or leadership. I don't know what exactly you saw.
She saw greatness. We haven't
had a heart to heart yet. Yeah, amazingness.
And, so amazing.
Yeah, and then shortly after, she asked me if I would consider moving out here to help, like, relaunch, like, build the burn. And I prayed about it, and I said yes. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, we've done a lot the last couple of years. Yeah. I've only been here less than 2 years.
Yeah.
You know that? Wow. Like, wow. December will be 2 years.
Wow.
So I moved here, and that's amazing. Been a whirlwind of joy and pivoting and crying and laughing and like building family.
People, lots of people.
Lots of amazing people. Yeah. Wow. So I know there would be, we have partners and friends that this podcast goes out to. Mm-hmm. And I know there might be some that don't know the history or, you know, your mission and your vision of, mm-hmm. of Burn Canada and how it even came to Canada. Mm-hmm. Would you guys share a little bit for those that may not know, what is the history? Like, how did it start in Canada? What's the heart behind it? Yeah. And I know you shared some already, which is amazing. But
yeah. So in 2006 in the States, Sean Foyt was in college and he started a campus worship night where they were just doing extended times of worship. Mm. And so that's where the name Burn 24/7 came in, because they wanted to ignite worship, you know, globally at a, you know, that would be continuous, just like the Tabernacle of David for 24/7 like year round. And so that was the heart of it. And then there was a worship leader in Canada that went down, saw what was happening, the amazing fruit that was happening from it, because they also were doing outreaches and and just seeing just this fire ignited in the in the youth and young adults.
Yeah.
And so he brought it back up here in 2010 and launched it in Canada.
Okay.
So it's been around since 2010 in Canada.
Wow.
And it's gone through three directors now. I'm the third.
Okay.
So now I've shifted it to become its own entity here in Canada as well.
Okay.
Sean's like, of course, you know, like this is Canada's thing. Mm-hmm. This isn't a US thing. Mm-hmm. It needs to be, you know, Canadian. And Canadian run, Canadian, all that. And so they were super supportive. Mm-hmm. And they gave us so much to be able to like just a blank slate, literally, to just do whatever the Lord showed us what to do. And so we continued with the extended worship.
Okay.
And we had some teams like back east. They'll go, I was at a burn that went for 56 hours.
Oh, wow.
And what happens when you do these extended times of worship is you can't do it alone.
Yes.
You have to do it with others. So it brings in the opportunity to work with other ministries and draw from that. And that builds this really beautiful community, because you're all coming together for one common purpose, and that's to worship Jesus.
Yes.
And then out of that has come outreaches and so many other things. And it's what was really neat. I went down to the States last year just to share what's happening in Canada, because people were curious.
Yeah.
And I was able to encourage the director down in the US for that. And they actually started shifting things they were doing down there because of the fruit they've seen up here in Canada.
Wow.
So it's like we're all helping each other.
Yeah.
We're family.
Yeah.
And I know it's been quite a hot topic about you know, US versus Canada. And I've been challenged, you know, why don't you just have Canadian leaders? And and I'm like, I didn't know that the kingdom of God had borders.
Yeah.
You know, we're all family.
That's right.
And we help each other.
That's right. And that's what it's about, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I just, and it's been a privilege to run with them and have them as family and have them champion us to just do whatever it is the Lord wants us to do here in Canada.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so good. I love that. All right. Well, we know that you guys, both of you went on a Canadian tour.
We heard lots about it.
We heard lots. And I know you probably have so much to share. Yeah. We want to hear testimonies. We want to hear what has impacted both of you. And we want to hear how you saw the church unite and how beautiful that must have been to see just traveling across Canada, and share with us
what happened.
I'll jump in when necessary.
Yeah, amazing. So for those who don't know, this is probably, it was national news and some even international, which is very interesting because what happened was we lost 9 out of 11 permits across the country.
Wow.
Well, either canceled or denied, whatever language you want to use. And then we got to pivot. But then you see the faithfulness of God to release his kingdom and his love on people. And it's nothing short of significant and extraordinary. And there's many testimonies I can share. But one of them I would love to share is the first day in Halifax, the first Lettuce Worship, we got to pivot onto a farm. The Lord was all over farms.
This is so very amazing. Prophetic.
Wow. Right? Yeah. Very Canadian. Yeah. Very Canadian and very prophetic. And so and then we ended on a farm too. But anyway.
Yeah.
Right. We were told there was going to be many protesters attending or at least protesting. Okay. And some of them were at the end of the driveway and they were very vocal about their feelings. And I went down there because I'm like, we're not violent. You're not violent. Like, we're good. And so I go down there and I say, oh, does anyone want anything to eat? No, we're good. And then someone else asked, I asked, oh, well, are you guys hungry? We have some stuff. And they're like, oh, we don't have an appetite. Go back to your cult leader. And I looked at this guy and I said, I'm so glad you're here. You know, like, you diffuse the situation with love because they're still hearing worship. They're still hearing the gospel. And we celebrated that.
Wow.
Yeah. Right? Because those are the people, like, how else is the Lord going to reach those communities?
Yeah.
Except for having someone that they strongly dislike show up and they get to be there and protest and express things. At the same time, though, actually, I want you to tell the one that happened in Montreal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, just getting into the Halifax.
I'm really excited about that one.
So it was really amazing. And I, like, Montreal was its own special animal. And but with what happened is typically, like, how do I express this well and with kindness? And we had the best advertising agency we've ever had.
Okay.
I'm guessing it wasn't a positive version.
Not a positive version, but and I really was really having a hard time navigating that. Yeah. And because I had spent, you know, thousands of hours because we're a very small ministry, you know, working with the cities for months. I've had to review all of our correspondence. It's been literally thousands of emails, you know, the amount of work that went into this. And so I was just like devastated because we had anticipated at least 2,000 people per city.
Right.
We had prepared for so much. And I remember praying and saying, Lord, let us, you know, find a way to reach as many people as possible because that was lost. You know, we had partnered with you guys to to have, you know, resources for new believers and other ministries as well, like I Am Second, CFAN. And we had come together. And so in spite of all of that, the Lord used the media to bring the people.
So
which was so beautiful. So Montreal was a beautiful example of what happened. And so this young lady at the end, she came up and she's wearing a Lettuce Worship t-shirt. And she's like, she said, I just walked through a whole, you know, pile of protesters. She's like, this is crazy. She said, it's so angry outside, but it's so beautiful in here. And she's like, she just was like in awe of this. And then I asked her, I said, have you been to church before? And she said, no, maybe a couple times, like over over the years. Yeah. She said, but I came because I wanted to see, I saw on the news and I wanted to see for myself. And long story short, I end up leading her to Jesus. As I'm praying for her, she's standing there just crying. And she's like, I don't know why I'm crying. And I was like, that's because you're feeling the love of the Father right now. And he's pursuing your heart. And then she's like, I'm going to walk outside with my t-shirt on. And I'm like, are you sure you don't want to cover it? Because I'm still, you know, a little nervous. And she's like, no, I'm going to walk proud. I was just like, whoa. And for me, that was a pivotal moment. I had quite a few. But that was one of them because he pursues the one. And God will turn what was meant for evil into something so good.
Yep. Come on.
And if all of this was just for her, it was worth it.
Absolutely.
And it just to see that and what a privilege to be able to be a part of that,
yeah.
No matter how stressful and devastating it was, because yep. It was like, I'm still recovering.
Yes.
I've been sleeping a lot, but it's just, it's such an emotional thing when you've invested so much, yep. But yeah. Then also to see how the Lord moves so powerfully.
Yeah.
And I just talked to one of our leaders from Halifax today, and she's like, look what God did.
Wow.
Like, isn't it just amazing?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, we couldn't have gotten through this without him. I'm like, there's no way.
No.
We couldn't have gotten through this without him. So,
So precious.
That's amazing.
And what else is really beautiful about that is there were times I tangibly felt people praying.
Oh, my goodness.
It's actually amazing. Because honestly, it was Nikki and I like running so much and trying to find new places and do a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. And other people worked hard, which is amazing. We're so thankful. But actually be on the ground, it was such a powerful experience. And but there were times I was like, Lord, how is this going to happen? But then later I would feel people literally like almost like angels, like, I don't know.
We had so many intercessors praying.
So right. many.
So I had one of my mentors, who is a former grand chief here in Canada. Mm-hmm. She said she was in her prayer closet almost the whole time, mm-hmm. like, because she couldn't sleep. She was just praying mm-hmm. for us nonstop. Yeah. And at one point, it started to happen where I'd be like, Lord, I don't know what to do next. And then an intercessor would message me, hey, this is what the Lord just showed me.
Yeah.
And it was literally like one foot after another, and the Lord would put the next thing in front of us.
Wow.
And
come on.
And so I know, like, we couldn't have done this without Jesus, 1,000%, without the intercessors, because they were the ones sensing things when we were in this fog, because we're also like battling not just, you know, the media, but full blown witchcraft attacks also happening.
Yeah.
And so it was incredibly intense.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some witches we had to block. It's pretty wild, what we've had to go through.
Yeah.
But to see, like, the Lord say, no, you know, I'm going to keep moving forward. You just keep giving your yes.
Yeah.
And seeing how the people came together.
Yeah. Wow.
And despite what seemed like a massive shunning of churches, actually, there was a beautiful remnant of believers that came forward and said, you know, like, we're going to support you.
Yeah.
So it was actually a lot of parachurch organizations, you know, and then we had different pastors that would be messaging, we're praying for you right now.
Yeah.
And because sometimes they would see things on the news before we even were notified, and which was really intense.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, and that's what's interesting. We didn't know that things were denied or canceled until the news told us.
Okay.
A lot of times.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't get to you first before the media.
We're driving through a lot of the areas that there was no zone, like no
cell
Wi-Fi,
service,
and literally on a bus traveling through the night trying to find places.
You guys are traveling with Sean and his team.
Yeah, we were on the bus the whole time.
Okay,
so
we were going to travel with them, but we were going to sleep in different places,
right?
Because it's not like the biggest bus, but because of how much pivoting there was, we were like, guess we're sleeping on the couch, Nikki.
We literally lived on the couches. Pretty wild.
Yeah. The fact that the media knew before you guys too, and I know that it's a bus ride, but still, like, in the course of a bus ride, that the media already has put it out there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it felt like whiplash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also, I don't know how much we want to get into this, but it was very interesting to actually be in it and then read something that is inaccurate or twisted.
It's
like, okay, so now there's confirmation upon confirmation for me about some stuff.
Yeah.
And yet in Montreal, in my experience, that was probably the most intense with like Antifa, LGBTQ. Like, I think there was I don't speak French, and there was someone holding a flag, and I guess it said like burn down Canada or not for Canada or something like that. But what's so powerful about that is I've been in communication with the pastor for a little while, and they're like, oh yeah, no, we're meeting with pastors all the time. We're looking to like meet and continue to make sure that revival continues and all these things. Because I asked them at the beginning, I said, what if tonight is the night revival starts in Montreal? You know, and like, hey, like, let's go, which was so exciting. And they're amazing people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, each person actually that hosted us.
Yep.
Yeah,
I would go to bat for them. Like, they are fabulous,
amazing people.
So
with all of the opposition that you guys faced through this whole Canada-wide tour, What was one of the things, or what are some of the key takeaways that or maybe you experienced, kind of like maybe growth, but what is something that happened for you guys personally through all of the opposition?
That's a big one.
That's a good question. I love that question.
I think for myself, it was learning that it is okay to stand up in adversity. And I am someone that does not like conflict. And I was smack in the middle of like the biggest like national conflict. I'm like, I've been in the hidden place for so long. And then suddenly I'm like, oh my gosh, here I am in the forefront. Can I hide now? And but it was to just resolve that we needed to trust God first over everything else, that Jesus had us on a journey. And we like, he was teaching us already this year about pivoting. It started when we were hosting our camp in the summer, or not in the summer, in the spring. And we didn't have any plans. And the Lord actually taught all about David through all the different leaders. It just, David and his story kept coming up. Tabernacle of David, the five smooth stones, the faith of David, that intimacy. And so when we were walking this out, that intimacy, even when we were in Haida Gwaii, like just trusting the Lord said, pivot. We had a schedule. The schedule got completely thrown out.
So funny.
We had tried to make a schedule. And then we ended up being invited to lead worship in an Anglican church on First Nations Reserve in Old Masset and lead the whole service in worship. And you know, the amazing pastor there, she was like weeping as she's, you know, and then singing in her dialect. And it was just so powerful. And that was the beginning of the lessons for us to be able to navigate what we went through this summer. And I'm like, thank God that he was already weaving a tapestry for us.
He was preparing you,
Absolutely. And so that was the thing, was learning to be able to pivot, not to worry or be afraid, and just go, okay, he has something in store. And I just thought about the other one, Tent of David, the one in Ottawa. We had like no churches would open their doors for us in Ottawa. And then just before we were ready to pull the plug on our outreach, like this was in May, the Tent of David opened up, this little tiny church just outside of Ottawa.
And we had Davidic
the most amazing. So it's just been this theme the Lord's been showing us. And the other thing, the biggest thing for me was I kept hearing over and over as we're going through this, the Lord kept saying, you do not have to wear Saul's armor. You have this five smooth stones. And it just kept coming to mind over and over again. And I was like, I remember we're talking, I'm like bawling my eyes out in the back of the bus. And I'm like, we're not to fight this the way that the world thinks we're to fight this. We need to go about this from a place of intimacy with the Lord, and he will lead us through this. And so for us, I know, well, for all of us as a team, that was really huge, just, you know, to trust and be bold and to love relentlessly, you know, to love the people that were even against us, to forgive them, not take offense, not take offense over the churches that just kind of turned away from us, you know, and to just love, because, you know, Jesus was our perfect example. And even as the people were being like mob mentality crucifying him, he still forgave them. And so I think it's put a fire in me have like even, you know, sharing my testimony, sharing, you know, Jesus, sharing, you know, what he's done, because he is the ultimate thing we're to point to. We're to pivot up. And so no matter what happens, we pivot to him first, and then he leads, and we experienced it in incredible ways.
That's huge to respond with love to those that are, you know, publicly not for your message and what you're doing, but for you to respond like that is huge. That's amazing.
It was a protester, but yet many reporters were around through all the cities, and that was also a gift because they also heard the gospel. Like even news stations like Rebel News, a couple of them I talked to, and they were experiencing God's love. They don't have a faith yet. In Jesus' name, they will.
Yes.
But especially one in Toronto, I introduced myself because
you know, I like Rebel News. And I was just chatting with them, like, oh, like, have you ever been to church before? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I grew up in the church, but I kind of on my own journey right now. I'm like, okay, well, like, get back. Like, let's go. Anyways, so just this eye-opening opportunity for people that we didn't even expect or ask for. And so to answer the question about like what I learned personally, man, fear of man died in Halifax.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Fear of man suffocated really quickly because Nikki had a lot to handle on her end with Sean and a bunch of back end stuff. So I threw myself into like running the whole thing, like looking up for security and food and like kind of being the co-team lead and still submitting like all the things. And it was wild. And in Montreal, like, people were like, oh, you're going to get arrested if you start. Like, there was literal, to me, there was a literal threat of being arrested in Montreal.
Wow.
I'm like, okay, am I willing to go to jail for Jesus? Yep. And so that was the huge thing. I don't know if I would have said that before this season, you know? And something else the Lord is teaching me is that the church is rising up, not the churches.
Right. Yeah.
And I say that very significantly, and I want to honor. And I also want to say, it was actually you mentioned like, oh, unity of the church. It wasn't churches. We actually were left in the dust in a lot of places, but it was the church, the body that came together to worship Jesus. Hey, I'm here. What can I help with? Versus actual churches.
Right.
And I think that's what's really awakening in me is because Jesus didn't call us to be churches.
That's right.
Not one here, not one there, one.
That's right.
One body of Christ.
Yes. Yeah.
And the moment we start, oh, you know, it's going to be my church. And then just like you do your thing.
Right.
The moment that it's been here for a long time. And I believe the Lord is breaking that down.
Yeah.
Because we can't operate, especially with what this hour looks like. Yep. We can't operate being like, hey, well, my church is here. We're doing this. Your church is there. Okay, good for you. Like, we're in a very pressing season right now. And that's what I'm really excited for the remnant, because I saw the remnant show up in each city.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, hey, Lord, like, keep awakening your city through these people.
Yeah.
Because it's, I could go off on this. And also that Jesus requires us to use our voice. And there is a cost to discipleship. And which can include using your voice, right? Because if you're quiet about Jesus, like, what are you doing? You know, I'm not saying you have to go street preach, but I am saying you get to reflect Christ. You get to be bold. And that's another thing in Halifax, because Nikki and I were like blindsided by all of this, right? And I was just like, Lord, what does this look like in Halifax? And we both got emotional and just hugged for a minute because we're like, like, what do we do? And I'm actually very thankful for Sean because he lovingly was like, toughen up. Like, oh, yeah, yes, sir. Okay, I'll toughen up. Let's go.
Canadians are so soft.
Yeah, which he's not wrong.
Yeah,
he's not wrong. Maybe that's my experience. And but what's powerful is that I had a vision in my mind of a lion walking around the farm in Halifax, right? The Lion of Judah. And I'm like, oh, we're good. We're fine. It's good, right? And I think that, and when we actually remember that the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us, that means we get to roar, right? We can't just be like, oh, yeah, Jesus is great. Do you want to? We got to know, like, Jesus is the Son of God.
Yep.
He sacrificed. Oh, we could go off on this too, but just to say that discipleship matters and the gospel, of course, matters. Right. Yeah. And so that's been a huge thing the Lord's been teaching me. Like, what am I willing to pay for the gospel to be shared? What am I willing to pay to have worship outside for free and not be permit, like, fined for having, anyways, healing? Yeah. Like I said, there's a lot that I could share, and I get to remember where I am.
Can you, Nikki, can you share a little bit about, I know you guys had, you mentioned the permit thing and the opposition there. What was that like? How did you guys walk through that?
It was very heavy because having so much accusation come at us that we did all the things wrong when we actually hadn't done anything wrong and had done everything normally as per what was required. And then when the shift came, when accusations came, and we've seen how fear can just manipulate so many people. And so walking through being accused of all sorts of crazy things. Mm-hmm. And the permit's pulling. The first place that pulled the permit, they actually kept apologizing to me on the phone because they did not feel safe for their own staff for what was being threatened to them.
Wow.
So it was threats that were happening that caused them this, you know, to happen in Halifax, but then to see this domino effect of fear, like take over the cities and the people that that incited that fear. And we're like, even so in Edmonton, I flew in early to be in Edmonton and they were one of the ones that, that stuck with us. And we went through so much, like so much paperwork. It's insane. I felt like it was like death by paperwork. And cause like the layers that are required for most of the cities were so extensive. Like some of the cities you had to get through three tiers of levels to be approved. And like, and we were in like, all of the first sets of cities, we had everything in place because, you know, I like to operate a tight ship. The second round, we were going according to what was already in play and we're going to be, you know, finishing up everything once I was done the first leg of the tour with no, you know, inkling that something like this could even happen. Like I had no clue something like this could happen. And it, what happened was unprecedented. I don't know anybody on the planet that has had every single, well, almost every single city pull out permits and then also then slap you with way more requirements than were necessary. And then having to jump through all of those hoops to be able to keep. So out of all of those, I was jumping through hoops and for weeks trying to keep everything afloat still. And I literally was in my office and I had people bringing me food. I didn't get to see my kids for 3 weeks. Like I actually sent them away because it was so hard on my family. And it's very real. When you count the cost of what it is to do what Jesus asks you to do, it's there's a tangible cost. And for me, it was my family. And so like, I didn't see my kids for 3 weeks. People were coming and, you know, making me food so I could eat because I didn't even have time to cook because there were so many things the cities were putting on me. And even still, we were denied. And so it was really, really challenging. And except for the two cities, Saskatoon and Edmonton. And Edmonton, I got there and it was like after all the work, there was so much work that went into it. And then they required we have ambulances. They required we have, you know, all these, like, it was just wild, the different things. And I was like, Jesus, how are we even going to pay for this? For this tiny little ministry, we had people just, you know, walk away from, you know, funding us. And because of the controversy that took place, all because of the, what was happening in the media. And we're like, how do we navigate this? Jesus, like, we don't have the funds. And the Lord just kept providing, like step by step, there'd be someone else that would provide. So we were able to then pay the portable toilets. We were able to like, and then they were like requiring 10 portable toilets instead of 4, you know? And so it was like all the costs just kept getting higher and higher. And it was just such a walk of faith to see like the Lord, he's going to provide because there's no other way this is going to happen. And so I get to Edmonton. And I'm meeting with the team, the police, the like all of the safety team and our team that was in Edmonton that were boots on the ground for us. And I was talking to the lady, the organizer there for the legislative grounds. And she's like, well, I hope we can just get through this weekend. And I said, you know what? I hope that this is going to actually shift your view and that we get to love on a whole lot of people. And that morning I've been praying and I said, you know, Lord, like I'm really stressed out, you know, everything in Saskatoon was going on. I felt bad being in Edmonton early and leaving the team in Saskatoon. But I heard him so clearly say, how else would I would have had them hear the message? And they were anticipating, you know, thousands of protesters to show up. I was even getting messages going, oh, yeah, that day there's going to be thousands. And so I asked them, I said, can we just have a section over there for protesters? I said, I don't mind if they walk in the crowd. I think that's actually going to be beautiful. And she was like, she just kind of looked at me and I said, I hope we get to hug a bunch of them. And she's like, well, I'd love to see it. Like, she was not like, she just was like, I don't think that's going to happen. What was so beautiful was the night of the event. It was just, I watched as they started to infiltrate, and you know, there was like over 5,000 people that showed up, and the protesters were there. It was between 50 to 100, not thousands.
Not thousands, okay.
And they just, you know, they shared their noisy things, and but it didn't disturb who Jesus is, and he loves them too. So they start walking through, they're waving their flags through the crowd, and I'm standing there watching, and it was so beautiful because it just turned everything upside down. Was everyone had been, you know, saying and threatening in the media and threatening to the cities. But I watched person after person talk to the protesters and say, you're loved. Can I hug you? I love you. Can I pray for you? And I was standing there. I watched the one lady walk by, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, let her come near me. Let her come near me. Please let her come near me. And as she walks past with her trans flag, and I said to her, I said, how are you doing? And she's like, I'm doing good. I'm like, that's awesome. I said, can I give you a hug? She's like, yeah, give her a hug. And I'm like, are you doing okay? And she's like, I'm actually really hot right now. And I said, can I get you water? And she's like, no, I have my water over there. And I'm like looking at her, and she's in a tutu. And I'm like, are you sure? I said, I've got ice cold water right here if you want it. And she's like, okay. So then I give her the water. And that's what we're called to do, right? We're called to bring the people to the water, the living water.
That's right.
And so, like, despite all these permits being, you know, either revoked or denied, depending on the process that they were in, or canceled, there were still people that were being reached and people that were being loved. And it turned, you know, the story, I love to say flip the script, because do the opposite of what's expected and see the Lord move, because how else are we've been operating this way for so long and it's expected to fight. It's expected to, and there is, you know, there is a point of keeping accountable our governments and our cities, but there's this expectation of, you know, like they were ready to fight. Like they wanted to prove who we were, and then they kept getting loved on. And that's who Jesus is. And so despite all of the permits and all that, it was amazing to see. And I kept getting messages from the different leaders of the area saying, we're hearing it's been really good. There's really positive reports. And so for that to happen in Edmonton was so amazing. And despite that, we still, you know, weren't able to do the things in Kelowna or Abbotsford, but we had farms and acreages open up.
That's right.
And it was so beautiful.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we want to, can you share with us anything with the partners and friends about what the future holds for Burn Canada or for Let Us Worship? What's on the horizon for you guys?
Mm-hmm. The Lord is so wonderful. And as Nikki mentioned, there's been a purpose in the hiding. And now there's no way to hide anymore. When our name goes on, okay, I remember who they are. And so that can be a blessing. And also, you know, like, people are annoyed, but that's okay. Like, that's their own stuff they get to heal from and deal with. Well, that's the other thing quickly about the protesters, and they're looking for something that they can't find without Jesus. To me, that's very simple, right? Because when in Saskatoon, that was also, it was Montreal, then Saskatoon was the most intense.
Right.
And they were just saying things, and I could see the demonic manifestation. Like, hey, like, do I go after all this, or do I just continue to worship? So I chose to worship. But they get to experience Jesus, and they all heard about Jesus, even with their whistle blowing and their chants and their Bluetooth speaker and all these things. Like, they still got to see Jesus, and it exposed a lot of what we look like versus what other communities can look like. And back to your question about what's on the horizon a lot.
Yeah, okay. And talking about burn on purpose.
Yeah. So something that the Lord brought to my heart, because I love youth and young adults. Mm. I truly, oh my goodness, I truly believe that Gen Z and Alpha are going to be the ones that change the world.
Yes.
Especially with what happened with Charlie recently. Like there's just been an awakening and Gen Z and the world, but specifically Gen Z. So I'm like, Lord, how do we partner with what you're doing for this generation? Yeah. This was even before, like I thought about this even before that happened. But anyway, so there is this vision that we are working on right now called Burn on Purpose. And it's a youth slash or young adult conference or camp. We're trying to figure that out, but it's basically pouring into that generation and developing their leadership and their faith and equipping them to go back into their schools, universities, communities, workplace, whichever, to live for Jesus. And not only that, because you know how you can go to conferences and you get this high and then it can kind of dwindle. Something that the Lord revealed to me in a strategy for one, I can't remember which one, but discipleship after. Right. Yeah. So it'll be like healthy, vetted leaders that will partner with a small group of three or four throughout the year.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, like, how's your Bible reading? How's your faith? Like, how can we walk with you and learn what it actually means to be a disciple? Because my experience of discipleship in Canada can be better. Right. Yes. It's not just come to church and listen to the pastor. It's like an intimate personal relationship.
That's right.
And like we talked about, there's a cost,
right?
Yeah. So what is that cost? It's tough conversations. It's your flesh. It's your desires. Not saying the Lord won't honor your desires, but like if there's something that the Lord doesn't want, like it gets to be released to him so he can give you something better.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. And so that's a small piece. I don't want to give all the spoilers because we don't know them all yet. Yeah, that's one really big thing. And then missions trips too.
That's called them burn wagons.
Ooh. Oh,
so and we've done them now three times.
Okay.
And here, and I know they do them in the US as well, and globally they take trips around.
Right.
And under the US, it's under Light a Candle. Okay. But the burn wagons are worship missions trips. Mm-hmm. And so we were just in Haida Gwaii in June. And then we were in Ottawa in early May.
Okay.
And back to back like that, don't quite recommend it. But we're going to try to spread things out.
Yeah.
But
we've said that a lot.
And then Jesus, one of my favorite things to say is we make the plans and Jesus throws out the plans.
Yeah.
And then we follow him. Yeah. Like, why did we make the plans in the first place? But we want to be doing more burn wagons. Mm-hmm. And we also do a camp, a worship camp in the spring, and which is a great way to launch. And you know the Holy Spirit's moving by how much Kleenex you go through. And we go through so much Kleenex. And
lots of crying, lots of healing.
Yeah, a lot of healing. Because one of the things the Lord told me, because as a burn director, I'm supposed to hold conferences.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when I was praying with the Lord, I'm like, what do you have for Canada? Yeah. And he said, I want to build family. And I want you to do camps. And so I'm like, okay, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. So the first year we did Camp Kwanos 2024. And it was beautiful. And we had just, we're away three nights, four days. We kept getting in trouble because the Holy Spirit was moving so strongly. We couldn't leave the room we were in. And then food would go cold. And they were like, you didn't plan this properly. And we had to actually pay for extra staff to stay and reheat the food for everybody. Because when the Holy Spirit was moving, like we couldn't move. Like it was so powerful. And that's what we experience.
Yeah.
And we also take that out and take that into the places we go.
Yeah.
And so this year, this coming year, for those that want to be a part of the burn wagons and or to lead, we're going to require coming to camp to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And we do songwriting, we do worship, we do prayer, and we just spend time in intimacy with the Lord and each other and getting to know each other and going really deep. And it has just built such a beautiful bond amongst leaders. Yeah. We also include the kids because a lot of leaders that do, you know, worship, the kids are always off to the side.
Yeah,
so this is actually giving the opportunity for the families to be family too and pour into their families. Because that's so important to the Father's heart. And so that's something that is now written in stone. We're like, we're at Green Bay, the Bible camp this year in Kelowna. We were there last, this past spring. And it was powerful. And it's a smaller camp, but it's actually great for the families because the moms with babies can, you guys should come.
Yeah,
thank you. All right. I know, we worshiped with you. You'd love it.
Yeah, that's
and we
amazing.
Just, we do worship like and chapels and then just like, it was so cool because like early morning prayer just initiated itself. And so then like, and we took that same DNA with us like to Ottawa, to Haida Gwaii.
Right.
And I just like, we had our national team meeting yesterday on Zoom. And so one of our new board of directors, he's from Haida Gwaii. Yeah. Like he's so sold out after we came and did a burn wagon there. He's now on our board. But it shifted their town, what happened there. So, and they're still seeing fruit now. And we were there in, early June. So we want to go back to Haida Gwaii because that's like so on our hearts. Last year we did Alberta. We want to do Alberta. We want to do Northern BC, Kootenays. We want to do Quebec. I already have like leaders that are like, we want to go into Quebec, back to Quebec. We had, when we were supposed to be in Quebec City, lost that whole thing there. The leaders there started to receive like messages from the Catholic priests saying, when are the worshipers going to come back? Because we want the worship. So we want to equip and help these leaders to get into these cities and mentor them and equip them how to share the gospel. We also, I forgot at home, but have this little QR code pamphlet. It's a Connect card. And on it has resources for new believers, and which is something that also KCM Ministries has been involved in helping, provide some resources for new believers, which is amazing. It's such a gift to us. We also have CFAN created, Now That You're Saved booklet that's digital. So, because they have the physical one, but they actually made a digital one version. To add to that. There's stuff from E3 or Kenneth I Am Copeland. Second. So it's... it's really beautiful. Disciple City, like just all sorts of things. Because what we're about is bringing together ministries from across Canada. And it's not just one denomination, not just one. That's it's like everybody coming together for the common cause of, reaching the lost. And they will be reached. So these burn wagons, I think, are going to be huge. And it's actually neat to be able to spread out like this. Because we can also go more intimate with and be in a city for like a few days instead of, coming in. What Sean does is very, there's a breaker anointing in that. But what happens after what we do in Canada is the most important. We want to disciple, we want to mentor, we want to collaborate with other ministries. We're building these relationships. And so all of this has been building for like, the last 2.5 years and it's all Jesus's ideas. I'm like, okay, that's okay. Right. And then we try it and it works. God's so good.
It's like you travel to all these cities and you plant seeds, but they need to be watered. And so,
And that is something so near and dear to our heart. And for Nikki, like, I just want people to know she's actually so much greater than she seems right now. Thanks. And listen, I love you and listen. So thank you. With the follow-up cards, she was like, hey, this keeps happening. Like all these people come to Jesus and then what? The scripture talks about the seeds scatter, but then the animals eat it or it gets in dry and all, but then there's like good soil and stuff. And so she's like, how can this work? And so she spent so much time and energy building these relationships and then making the website page. And like, there's countless things that she has done because she not only believes in the power of the gospel, but the impact of discipleship.
Wow.
So like, what an honor to see that and be mentored by that. Yeah. And yes, it is all Jesus and it's obedience of his people. So earlier I was saying how there's the church, not churches. What we're talking about right now is like all these ministries coming together, because it's not about E3 or The Burn or Kenneth Copeland or stuff. It's about one person.
That's right.
And his name is Jesus. Right. So when we lay down all of our ideas mm-hmm. and what works for us. Yeah. Then that I was gonna get passionate, but I stopped. So that's what what matters. Yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, just because it's so heartbreaking to, for me at least, to see how much division there is in the church mm-hmm. when Jesus died for unity. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. You know, and like, not many people even talked about it. Well, actually, I can't say that across the nation. But what I've experienced mm-hmm. is that there are people that could have reached out to us personally through Instagram, Facebook, emails, whatever. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very quiet. Mm-hmm. And so my healing journey right now has been, okay, if you want to protest and you want, if you're in the media, you want to lie, bless you. You don't know any better. Mm-hmm. But if you're a part of a church mm-hmm. or you love Jesus, let's have a conversation. Yeah, you know, because right. there's so much more that Jesus wants to do, but there's, not that we can limit him, but at the same time, like the flow of us coming together with our different skills and mm-hmm. gifts, mm-hmm. how much like the kingdom can expand so much more rapidly if we choose to
work together.
Work together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's so good.
Another really exciting thing, because we have so many creatives mm-hmm. that are a part of this. We mentor young people. Mm-hmm. We have people from literally toddlers to seniors that are involved and that do cool. things like worshiping, art, the creatives, writing, blog writing, and photography. Like mm-hmm. it's just, it's amazing to see how, as we've been mentoring these people, seeing them flourish in their calling mm-hmm. that has been like a seed in their heart that they've wanted to do but never felt they had the opportunity mm-hmm. to.
Right.
And so for us, because we're a growing ministry mm-hmm. and because we have so many big dreams, we are trying to continue to find ways to create income and fundraising and that's an area I need to grow in. So this has been very stretching for me. Yeah. So I was praying, I'm like, Lord, what do you have? Like, what else is there? And so we are going to start to have like a little, you know, merch kind of store, mm-hmm. but we wanted to share with people, you know, the journey we've been on through the year mm-hmm. and every year moving forward mm-hmm. and, you know, what is God teaching in this hour? And so we want to create a devotional of, you know, with the writings and, you know, poetry and different things from all of our leaders and different pastors and, you know, different significant people that have been a part of our journey this mm-hmm. year to share how the Lord has taught them mm-hmm. and then amalgamate it into this like beautiful like art book that's also devotional and the theme this year is going to be pivot up.
That's great.
Very so appropriate. We're hoping to we're going to get the youth, we're mentoring them and how to create this book and then young adults, and we've put out the call for all the different people to send in a write-up, and then we're going to have the photography for it. If anyone has art, put it in there. And then it's just going to be just this beautiful memoir of, you know, what Jesus is teaching us in this hour. Yeah. So I'm really excited about that project. Wow. And so volume one, we're hoping will be out on like late November in time for Christmas. Nice. So, and then we'll just keep doing a volume every year.
Yeah.
And so just to share, because the Lord has taught us so much. Mm. Yeah. And I'm like, how do we get this into people's hands to encourage them and also to help them to also be bold and step out and, you know,
it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, not only that, because all that's amazing. We're actually looking for people who want to volunteer with us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to be just in this city. Mm-hmm. It's actually nationwide.
Yeah.
Right. Anywhere from tech to media to leaders who want to run a burn wagon, but they had all the things. Right.
Administration. So where can one go to find your page or info about this website?
How
can they support
website?
Your website. Okay.
And we'll
definitely post that link in our bio of this podcast so people can go check you guys out and get all that information, because that sounds amazing. Awesome. And a theme I've been hearing from you guys, what you've experienced over the summer, is a lot of trust. Boldness, courage, just clinging to the Lord and knowing that He leads and guides our every step. So what I would love for one or both of you to do, if you could pray over our partners and friends and just release that, or release your testimony of what you've experienced this summer over them. And as they listen, that would just be an impartation for them as you pray.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that you chose to go to bring us back into unity with the Father. And that can happen. That only happened because you came back to life to prove you are who you say you are, and you're alive today. Lord, let us not forget that. And Lord, I bless these partners and these listeners / watchers right now. And first of all, if they don't know you personally, I pray right now that your spirit fills their space right now. And then they recognize there is a true Father in heaven who loves them, who sent their son to die for them. And they get to experience this life and the next life with you. And Lord, for listeners who are in love with you, I've released and asked for a fresh fire over them. That they have this stirring to share the gospel. They have this stirring to remember to worship you in all circumstances. To be bold and stand up for the truth, for righteousness, and your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And that we remember that there is a cost to following you. There is a cost, Lord, and remind us that it can be paid. Because of what you've done on the cross, everything is paid for us. So I thank you that we get to surrender our lives to follow you and have your way. And Lord, I thank you that in this season, even if for any Gen Zs that are listening right now, I release fresh boldness over you as well. That wherever you are, work, school, university, et cetera, that there is this opportunity for you to stand tall. Head up for the gospel. That fear of man will die now in the name of Jesus. And that the fear of the Lord will increase. That there is this reverence and remembrance of who you are. Seated on the throne with elders and angels worshiping you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You are so faithful, Lord, and we thank you. God.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
We just bless this time. Thank you for people's generosity and their time. Thank you for what you're doing in Canada. Thank you, Lord, that you are rising up the remnant to expand your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven.
Thank you.
Thank you for the breakthrough. Thank you that it's no longer churches. It is the church. It is the bride, you, the body of Christ being activated and repenting and turning away from apathy, from warming up a pew, to going out and proclaiming the good news of Jesus. In your name I pray.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Lord, I just thank you for every person that hears this. And Lord, that there would just be a boldness. I come into agreement with what Cassie said, just this boldness that comes up in their hearts. That there'd be a healing as well. And for those that have held bitterness or unforgiveness and just things that are holding them back, where they feel like they're being held back. Jesus wants you. He wants you. He wants you to release that to him and just to simply give your yes. And not having to figure out what it looks like, but to just follow him and pursue him. And no matter what age you are, it's never too late. And God has something incredible for you. He's writing an incredible story. And, you know, many people are saying, you know, we're running out of time and it's never too late to get out there and start sharing his love. Lord, I just pray that if there's any bitterness or any unforgiveness, any resentments, Lord, that that would be released. Lord, that they would take on your heart of saying, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Because that's one of the things that holds us back so many times, is that bitterness and unforgiveness. And in this season, he's calling us higher. He's calling us to pivot up. And he is just saying, come to me, lay all of these things at my feet. And he's going to heal that, and he's going to open doors. And so I just encourage all of those listening
just give it all to Jesus, mm-hmm. because he has the best plans. Mm-hmm. It's just so beautiful. So Lord, I just pray again, just a healing for hearts. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I keep getting that, but so healing mm-hmm. for hearts. And yeah. and if this resonates with anyone, just mm-hmm. to encourage their hearts, Lord, and heal their hearts, and mm-hmm. and know that they can step out. They can step out and give you their yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And thank you for all the support, all the people that have come alongside of us, mm-hmm. and those that are still about to come alongside. Yeah. And Lord, we thank you for every person that you have and that is coming into your kingdom. Mm-hmm. And Lord, that we would see things through your eyes and your eyes alone, not through our flesh, not through our own will, but through your eyes. Mm-hmm. Help us to see through you, Jesus. Yeah. In your name we pray. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Wow. Thank you so much for everything that mm-hmm. the ministry is doing, for mm-hmm. being boots thank on the you. Ground, for mm-hmm. going from city to city,
yeah.
being in the trenches.
Yeah.
That is a special calling. And thank yeah. you for
for going after Canada.
Yeah.
Because Canada yeah. is being saved.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, she yeah. is. Yeah.
Come on.
She's beautiful. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for advancing the kingdom.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
It's yeah. been such a pleasure hearing your stories and your testimonies yeah. of what God is doing. And we're so excited to hear what's coming up for you guys next.
Yeah.
So, and
yeah.
to be a part of that and yeah. to walk with you guys in that. So thank you. Thank you for being yeah. here today.
Thank
it's
you.
It's such yeah. a privilege.
Yeah. And there's so much more, but I feel like that'll be a series.
I
so.
Know.
Yeah.
I know. We can go for another 2 hours. Yes. But yeah.
We'll see you next awesome. Time.
Yeah. Awesome.
More stories.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Jimmy from Langley, BC. This podcast is made possible by partners like me. When you partner with KCM, you're helping send free resources like this podcast to people around the world. Find more faith-filled resources at kcmcanada.ca.
Thank you for tuning in today. We pray this episode has stirred and strengthened your faith. If it has, don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with someone who needs encouragement. We also have a free PDF resource available for this episode, complete with study notes and key takeaways to help you stay built up in faith throughout the week. This podcast was made free thanks to the amazing support of our partners. Visit the link in the description to find out more.